Good morning, everyone. I think I want to begin by saying this morning. The coronavirus has rocked our world, a virus that has infected the entire planet. In Texas alone, as of last Thursday, there have been 43,210 people infected and 1,217 deaths. I was telling Linda, it's a little bit depressing. Everywhere you go, people are wearing masks. I went to Lowe's yesterday and kind of trying to, you know, put my mind on something every day, and everybody was wearing masks. It's just impossible to get away from it. The world has changed. Businesses have changed. Education has changed. Church has changed. But next Sunday, we're going to begin the slow walk back to normality here in our sanctuary. By the way, at the end of the service today, after the closing song, I want you to hang around for just a few moments. Let me talk with you about what next Sunday is going to look like, okay? Don't turn me off at the end. Because of the coronavirus, many questions are being generated about God. One contemporary poet has written, "On light and airy wings of summer, my yearning soar to heights so free, and there in ever-roaming wonder, where is God and what can He be?" Well, where is God in the midst of the coronavirus? This is one of the questions that's being generated. In fact, during this time of the quarantine, we've been spending time in a sermon series, kind of seeking answers to that question. The series is entitled, "My Father Is," and we're just kind of trying to be able to flesh out some of who God is and what He's all about. This morning, let's spend time understanding that my Father is a powerful King. In the midst of the coronavirus, our Father is in total control of everything. You haven't forgotten that, have you? Let's not forget that. One day, as a bus driver was making his rounds, a big hulk of a man got on the bus, stared at the driver. I mean, this guy was like a big wrestler, worked out all the time, obviously. His knuckles almost dragged the floor, a hulk of a man, and he glared at the bus driver, and he said, "Big John doesn't pay." And the bus driver kind of froze, and the man went on back in the bus and sat down in the back row. Next day, the same thing. Big John got on, says, "Big John doesn't pay," and went ahead and sat down. He did this day after day after day, and the bus driver became frustrated with himself for not doing anything about it. Finally, summer came. The bus driver was determined he wasn't going to allow this to continue, so he enrolled in bodybuilding class. He enrolled in judo and karate. He even took a course on how to build up his self-esteem. So by the end of the summer, he was ready for Big John. Once again, Big John got on the bus, glared at the bus driver and says, "Big John doesn't pay." And the man stood up. Big John, 6'8". He was 5'3", thin, mousy, meek. He stood up, looked at Big John and said, "Oh yeah, why does Big John not pay?" Big John, kind of surprised, he said, "Big John has a bus pass." Well, you see, things are never quite what they appear to be. And I just want you to recall this morning, remember, this coronavirus is frightening, it's intimidating, but it's not what it appears to be. And in the midst of it, God is not what He has appeared to be. That problem you're facing there in your home, that problem you're facing there in your life, I want you to know it's not as intimidating, it's not as overwhelming as it may appear to be. And God's supposed apparent absence is not what it appears to be. Now, I want us to look at this today because this is important. We're going to spend time in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 6, listen to this. "The Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule over the mighty kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you." We need to hear this. Our God's a powerful King. In the midst of all we're experiencing, our God is a mighty King. Let's begin with this. Let's look at our Father's sovereignty. The word sovereign is used to describe a king. Specifically, sovereign describes a king in relationship to those over whom he reigns. A king is a king, but if he has no one over whom to reign, he's not sovereign. A king can be a king, but if he only has a few people over whom to reign, he's not very sovereign. A king can be a king, and he's still a king, but if he reigns over a lot of people, if he's a mighty king, then he's very sovereign. And listen to this. If a king is very mighty, if he rules over everything, then he is absolutely sovereign. So we're saying this morning, our Father is absolutely sovereign. Listen again to Jehoshaphat, who himself is a king, in chapter 20, verse 6. Lord God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule, listen, over all the kingdoms of the nations? So God has absolute sovereignty over everything. God is the ultimate king. God rules from the ultimate Oval Office, you might say. Now, his Oval Office isn't here. His Oval Office is in heaven. But his Oval Office overlooks all of the earth, all of the kingdoms of the earth, all of the kings of the earth. And God reigns sovereign over everything. God exercises sovereignty over all other kingdoms, all other nations, all other kings. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, Paul refers to God as the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. King David, who is determined by many to be the greatest king to have ever lived, honored our Father with these words. This is Psalm chapter 24, beginning of verse 7. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So you see, it was known throughout all of history that the Lord God, our God, is the mighty King with ultimate sovereignty. I've never forgotten this. I wrote it down in my notes so I would remember it. After 9/11, Rudy Giuliani, who was the mayor of New York City, kind of became the mayor of the United States, if you'll recall. And one day, he stood before all the nation on television encouraging us, but his words revealed he doesn't know anything about the Lord God, our Father, being king and sovereign over all the world. He said this, all of us should pray to the God of his or her choosing. Well, that eclectic appeal probably rang sweet in the ears of the politically correct, but we know it was a heresy. God our Father knew it was a heresy. It was a blasphemy in the ears of our sovereign King God. There are no multiple gods from whom to choose. There's only one sovereign God, and he's the only choice. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24, beginning of verse 14. Fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today the one you will worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land we are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. The people replied, we will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods. And jump down to verse 18. We too will worship the Lord because he is our God. And we could go on and on with this theme talking about our God, our Father, the King, being absolutely sovereign in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and on, where again, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. suffice this morning for us to know and understand that our Father is the mighty King because He has ultimate sovereignty over all the world. All the world. Now, let's think about something else in the time we have remaining. Talk about our God being mighty King. Let's think about our Father's authority. Now, to understand this, we need to focus on the word there in our passage, rule, in verse 6. Sovereignty reigns, but authority rules. We can see the difference between sovereignty and authority by looking at Queen Elizabeth. She is reigning queen of England. Her position has been handed down to her through the years. She has royal blood. She comes from royal lineage. She's respected not only by England, but all over the world. She has absolute sovereignty, but she has no authority. She doesn't have the authority to write the law. In fact, she doesn't have authority to write a single parking ticket. All sovereignty, no authority. But we need to understand this morning, our Father is not like that. Our Father is not like that. Our Father has all authority and has all sovereignty and all authority. He's the sovereign King of all the world, and He is the authoritative lawgiver to all the world. Now, I want you to know this is important. We need to take just a moment and dwell on this and grasp this. It's important for several reasons. Let me just focus on a few. First of all, our Father has authority over all those who do follow Him. He's established His will for us, and we're to obey His will. Let me stop there for a moment and say this. There's something liberating about understanding and following the will of God, staying within the will of God. You may be familiar with the experiment that was conducted at a daycare center. A new daycare center was being constructed, and they intentionally did not build a privacy fence in the back. There was an acre of land in the back of the daycare center, and they intentionally did not put a privacy fence up. And what happened is when they let the kids go outside to play, the kids stayed close to the back porch. They kind of clustered there. They were intimidated by the openness of it. But after a few weeks, they came in and they built that privacy fence that covered an acre of land. And they were shocked, surprised, when those kiddos, once that privacy fence was built, they played all the way out to the far extremities of that property. Why? Because they knew where the boundaries were. That's kind of the way we are with God our Father. Life inside God's authority is a tremendous thing. It's a liberating thing. Another reason our Father's authority is important is it prohibits us from living outside the boundaries, outside those parameters. In contrast to the children at the daycare center playing safely in the fenced-in play area, about this time last year, a 22-month-old boy in Kentucky named Kenneth Howard wandered off out of his fenced-in backyard when his dad went inside to take care of a quick errand. That little 22-month-old boy wandered off. His dad, Eldon Howard, and his mother were frantic, as you might imagine. Little Kenneth spent 3 days lost in the woods before they found him cold, dehydrated, and terrified. Let's understand this. Life lived outside God's authority is a terrifying thing. But now, because of what we're going through, let me take just a moment and touch on one more reason. This is important. Not only does God have authority over those of us who follow Him, our Father has authority over all those who don't follow Him. We began this morning by establishing that God is in total control of everything, and He is, everyone and everything. Paul says to non-followers in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, because of your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself
in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. It may appear as though non-followers are getting away with things, but they're not. Record is being kept, and the day is coming when they're going to have to face that judgment. God has authority over followers. He has authority over non-followers. And then listen to this. We established this in the beginning also. Our Father has authority over all things in this broken world. We're confused about that even now. Beginning in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus explains that all of the pain in life, including the coronavirus, is caused by the introduction of sin into our Father's perfect world. He's going to bring an end to it all one day, the pain and the hurt and the heartache, all the viruses and all the fright. But to do that, he has to end the world. And he's just not ready for that to do that yet. So for the time being, the pain is going to exist along beside his followers. But he's in total control of all of it. Now, our Father has all sovereignty. He has all authority. Here's one last thing. Let's look at our Father's ability. Sovereignty reigns, authority rules, ability enforces. Many times those in authority have no personal ability to enforce their own judgments. So they delegate the enforcement of their judgments to someone who does have personal ability to enforce. Judges have authority to pass judgment. Judges have the ability to issue sentences, but they don't have the personal ability to enforce their judgments. So they delegate that enforcement, that ability to enforce, down to law enforcement officers who do have the ability to enforce those laws. Well, not only does he have all authority, our Father has the ability to enforce his authority. Listen to verse 6 again. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of might. I want to close with this, though, as we're talking about God's power and God's might and God's ability. We should recognize something else about our Father's ability. While he has the ability to enforce his authority, our Father also has the ability to express his affection. You see this here? For those who have love for him and live for him and follow him, he has a whole different kind of power. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. See, the Lord God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. Now listen to this. His reward is with him, and his gifts accompany him. I'll tell you what I'm reminded of. I saw this, I suppose, on YouTube. A 10th grade girl was in the school choir. She was very good. Here's the choir. All the girls are wearing white dresses. All the guys are wearing dark slacks and white shirts. And this is a very good high school choir. The director, of course, is directing the choir. And this one girl, the camera's kind of focused on her. She has riveted her attention on that director. She's following everything he says. She's singing her part, all of her concentration on her part, whatever that part may have been. And the director brings that choir to a great crescendo, and they stop, and the audience in the auditorium thunders into applause, and all of them remain poised. And this girl is very poised as she has her eyes set on the director. But over here, stage right, a man walks out on the stage. He's a huge man, a mammoth of a man, a muscle-up man, but he's wearing camo gear. He's carrying 3 dozen red and white roses in his hand. He has a big box under his other arm. Everybody kind of directs their attention toward him. This girl's a little bit slow in doing so, but she directs her attention to him. And as soon as she sees him, she loses her poise. She loses her composure. She's no longer a 10th grade girl. Now she's a 4 or 5-year-old girl. That's her daddy. And she kind of climbs among all these people and runs over and jumps into his arms, and he lifts her up off the ground, hugging and kissing her and loving her. I want to tell you something. Our Father's a mighty king. He has all sovereignty. He has all authority. He has all ability. But in his strength, in his might, he turns his affection toward us, his kids. He loves us, and he dotes on us, and we win his heart. Are you one of his followers? You've kind of sat there and listened as we've talked about our Father being a mighty king. Is God your Father? Have you turned to him and cried out to Jesus and asked for forgiveness and cleansing of sin? Have you allowed God the Father to forgive you based on Jesus' blood? Have you asked the Spirit of God to move into you and bring God's DNA with him? Are you one of his children today? Because if you are, your Father is a mighty king. Pray with me. Our God, our King, and our Father, what joy it gives us today to kind of stop in the middle of this terrible virus that's sweeping the world and recognize you're in total control. We forget that sometimes. We forget sometimes that you are a mighty king, totally sovereign, complete authority, and all ability to enforce your will. We yield to you now. We rest back in your arms. We look into your face as our Father and our God. We see your smile. We feel the warmth of your hug and your embrace. We thank you for being who you are. Remind us today of your great love in our lives regarding everything that we face. Lord God, thank you for being there. Thank you for allowing us to be your kids. Thank you for being our loving Father. We pray these things in the great name of Jesus. Amen.